and welcome back to another Friday Food Fight. I'm Wes Christian, your host for today, and I am joined again by my co-host, Mr. Bart Christian, nationally recognized speaker and co-founder of Food Handler Solutions and School Food Handler. Now, we're really excited to have a very special guest with us this week. We've got Mr. Reginald Ross. And Mr. Ross is the president-elect for the National School Nutrition Association. He also serves as school nutrition consultant for the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction and has dedicated his life to the service of children. Now, Reggie is an all-around wonderful guy. He loves this industry and the people in it. He is a true child nutrition superhero. And we're very excited to talk with him this week and discuss what school service might look like in our nation's schools at the beginning of the school year and how this pandemic will affect district budgets and what food service operations can do to make both their staff and customers feel safe when their classes resume again. So without further ado, gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's glad to be here. Reggie, I got to ask you a question. I was reading your bio, and there's a couple of things I learned off your bio that I think a lot of people don't know about you. And, you know, I've always known you were a great guy. But reading your bio, I'm just, you know, besides having won just about every award that you can possibly win in child nutrition, you've been a Boy Scout instructor for many, many years and one of the great organizations in our country. And you've also you're a choir director and actually recorded a couple of CDs. So tell us a little bit about that those two things, because I thought those were pretty cool. When I read that, I was going, dang, that's because I'm a novice singer, but I make a joyful noise. But you sound like you do the real thing.
Okay, we'll talk about the Scouts first. I was very fortunate that at my church we have a Scout troop, and my very best friend here is the Scout Master. And in working with the Scouts at our church, he asked me if I would be responsible for doing the cooking class and the cooking test for his Scouts. So as a result of that, I got involved and I created tests for them, did special training for them. And so now I do it every year during the summer, and I test the Scouts and I do training for them. So it's a great experience having to work with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now as far as the CD that was recorded, it was very interesting. My choir has been together now right at 19 years. And back around 2009, we were asked to perform for this group called Sign of the Times. Well, the director of Sign of the Times actually was the band director for James Brown.
Oh, wow.
And he heard us sing, and he was so impressed with the voices that we had and the sound, he said that he was going to produce a CD for us. And, you know, I got a bunch of old crusty guys in the choir, to be perfectly honest with you. And we all looked at each other like, yeah, sure. But over the course of the next year, he actually set us up to do the recording. We practiced and came up with the songs. He worked with us. He did all of the music in the background with his band, and we actually created a CD that actually was played on the radio.
Wow.
Some of the songs that we recorded. So never expected that to happen. I mean, I was just enjoying my calling as far as working with the choir, but that was just a side effect of that. And I'm very pleased and very happy, you know, to have a permanent mark through that CD.
So what That's are awesome. What are you, a baritone, a tenor, a bass?
No, I'm the pianist.
Oh, you're the, oh, I didn't, well, see, I didn't know. Did you play some piano?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's interesting you ask about that, because being on the board, we'll have meetings like in the presidential suite, and in some past years, I've actually gone in and actually played music during some of our meetings during the off time, so.
That is pretty awesome.
That's very cool.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing for a long time. You know, I only play in church, and I love what I do, and but it's been a tremendous blessing for me.
Yeah, well,
Reggie, what made you pick up the piano, just out of curiosity?
When I was very, very small, and this was like 5 or 6 years old, my mother played, not in church, but at home, and she would only play hymns. And so I would get on the piano behind her and start playing. So then I took lessons for 7 years, And then one day, my next door neighbor called and said, "Do you want to play for my choir? We'll pay you." And that's how I got started.
Very cool. Very cool. I've been trying. The reason I asked is I've been trying to pick up the guitar here recently in the past 6 months, and I was debating between learning the, well, I don't have a piano, so I was just going to learn the keyboard or the guitar, and I went the guitar route. But having never played either of them, it was a hard sell to get me to do the guitar. But my brother-in-law plays, so I was just curious to know how you got into it.
Yeah, that's how I got started, and absolutely love it. I have a piano upstairs, and just absolutely love it.
So I got a funny story. When I was in the band, when I was a kid, I played the saxophone. Well, I squeezed the knobs on the saxophone. And I, about the eighth grade, my band director, who loved me, we had a great relationship, great guy. He came in, he listened to me play one time. He was a very good saxophone player. He made me run the scales and all that. And then he looked, put his hand on my shoulder and he said, "Have you ever considered the drums?" And I was a drummer. My instrument was the cymbals, so that gives you just a little idea of how talented I am.
That's too funny. Hey, now Reggie, you are the president elect for School Nutrition Association, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So with, just to kind of jump into everything, with, you know, the cancellation of ANC, which very unfortunate to hear about just recently due to the pandemic, what are some of the plans that the School Nutrition Association has in place or they're working on to really bring industry and school nutrition professionals together?
Well, I guess I'd just like to highlight the fact that SNA at the national level has been incredible in making certain that we have great communication with our industry partners through either the Industry Advisory Council or our patrons. SNA has really stayed in contact with our industry partners. And what SNA is doing is through various media sources, and that includes our newsletter and through advocacy, we are constantly communicating with our industry to find out what their concerns, their needs are, how they're responding to the pandemic, how whatever issues they may have currently taking place, SNA is definitely listening. Now, we've actually had several conference calls with industry. We actually had one conference call with USDA where the industry partners got to express what their concerns were with the pandemic. And we've also had other calls with the industry where we've had directors who've come in and spoken about the concerns and the issues that they have from the director level so that industry understands the concerns and issues that we're having at this level. And in addition to that, SNA has published and actually did the very first survey they did with industry to find out what their concerns were, and published a great paper relating to what the industry partners' concerns were. And also with the SNA magazine and the website, numerous articles are available for our industry partners so that they can receive great information on the pandemic, how we're performing. And we just continue to communicate with our industry partners so that we're all moving forward with being successful in our industry.
No, I've been involved in a couple of those calls, though. I haven't been on them live because we do it at the same time, but I've listened to those patron meetings, patron calls, and you know, I agree with you, Reggie, that y'all are doing a great job of keeping us informed and listening to the industry partners.
Yes.
I mean, and because that you know, we've never really consider our customers. We've always considered them partners.
Correct.
That's what we really are. And I think now in this, what you guys are doing is just strengthening that even more. So I appreciate it.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. We have really formed a great relationship that's really actually grown during this process. And we're all in this together because this, you know, this pandemic is new for everybody. And the fact that we are working so closely together, understanding that we have different concerns, but we're facing the same problem. We continue to work together as a team as we move forward.
Now, Reggie, let's talk about what you're doing for members and sure. really getting the folks involved there. What is School Nutrition Association doing to really engage members right now, especially considering that a lot of people are working from home, that they're in, you know, kind of a modified work schedule? What types of things are SNA doing?
Okay, on that level, again, from the national level, SNA has really done an incredible job in coming up with information to keep our members informed. If you had the opportunity to see the April issue of SN Magazine, it was totally focused on facing COVID-19.
It was great, early. Yeah.
It was a great magazine and great information for all of our essential people that are out there in the field. SNA has published the results of another survey that they did with all of the directors over 1,800 over the country, where they responded to how they are serving our students out there. The website, again, has great information. We continuously send out updates to all of our members. SNA has been incredible in working with USDA and with Congress to bring forth the issues and concerns of our members. All of these waivers came about because SNA was listening to the membership about the concerns out there and working the in their particular district, you know, and some of the waivers that we've received have been critical to the success that we've had in feeding kids. You know, when the pandemic first started, none of us knew exactly what was going to happen, but our people really got together and determined we have to feed hungry kids, because we know there are many kids who would not get a nutritious meal unless they get it from us. And so SNA at the national level has really been there to provide information, to be the advocate for school nutrition, and not just at the level of providing information. SNA is going to bat with Congress and with USDA and requesting funds. Because, you know, a lot of our programs have been depleted by what's going on and the monies they've had to spend in their programs. And so SNA is definitely talking with Congress. We actually, this week, this new $3 trillion package that's been proposed, we were very fortunate that my congressperson, Alma Adams, actually led the fight to add $2.6 billion for school nutrition. So those kinds of efforts happen because of SNA and the leadership that we have at SNA and the people there that are working very hard to make sure our members are kept abreast of the latest that's happening in our industry. And in addition to that, one other thing I want to mention is that we've also had virtual leadership meetings and webinars where we talk about some of the concerns and issues that are being faced currently in our industry. And at the end of this month, we actually have a virtual leadership conference planned so that we'll be working with our leaders at the various state levels to bring them more information about how we move forward in our industry.
Mm. Now, you mentioned talking with leaders on the state level. What are you hearing in regard to state conferences and association meetings that are, I guess, scheduled for the remainder of this school year?
Okay. What I've heard thus far is that all of the state conferences that were scheduled through June have been canceled as of this time. And I do want to applaud all of our state associations, because this has really been a very challenging and difficult time for our state associations, having to face canceling their state conferences, because this is really the most important time for our state conferences, for their members to come together, for them to get credits and so many wonderful things that take place when they go and they fellowship together and they learn and they grow. And all of the state conferences have been canceled. But we have been in great communication with our state leaders, continue to be in communication with them. We applaud them for their efforts, and we are providing them with tools and assistance to assist them in keeping their members engaged and moving forward. Okay.
If we have it at that time of the year, will they come? Will the vendors participate? It's kind of going to be this juggling act, I think, Reggie. If you, I mean, you may agree that, if we have the conference and nobody comes, it's gonna the financial impact of that would be huge. And what alternatives could they do? So I think everybody that not only through June, but there's people looking in the rest of the year, they're gonna be contemplating whether or not they want to do it or not.
Well, I think the next few months will be a growing period for everyone because no one knows what's going to happen. And, the key thing is that we communicate and work together as we make our plans so that whatever plan that we come up with will be beneficial for all parties involved. But we don't know what's going to happen in August and September or October even, or even January. So, but we do have to plan for the future and continue working towards the future. And we know that we will come back and we'll get back to our glory days, the conferences that we've had,
We
and
will.
everyone coming together.
Yes, we will.
Now, you mentioned, planning for the future and planning for this upcoming school year. I know that we don't have a crystal ball and we can't see the future, but what do you think this upcoming school year might look like? Just so that you can maybe give a piece of advice for folks that are planning for next year, what should they plan for?
Okay. I think one of the advantages that I have in working as a consultant for the state agency is that I get to look at numerous school food authorities. And based on what I'm seeing, everyone is doing something a little different. Everyone's planning differently. And I think what's critical at this point is that as a school nutrition administrator or director, that you become involved with your administration in making the plans for this year. We cannot sit outside of those rooms when they're making decisions with decisions that will impact us in school nutrition. We have to be at the table. We have to provide feedback on what's going to happen with all the various scenarios that are out there. In some of my districts, I've heard all kinds of plans that are for the district. Some are talking about having A and B days. Some students come on A days, some come on B and like that. Some may come on ABC day and some come on DEF day. Some may come half of the, it's all over the gamut right now is what I'm hearing. But the important thing about that is that we have to understand that if we go to several of these plans, or if we go to feeding students in the classroom versus feeding in the cafeteria, it's going to impact us. It's going to impact industry in terms of what we provide. So we have to be at the table to talk about all of these issues so that we will be prepared as we move forward. And now is the time the districts are talking about what they're going to be doing in the fall. And so it's critical that we are at the table and we are communicating now. So that we won't have surprises when we come to the fall.
Yeah, I agree. It's all and it is all in place. We're seeing that here too, Reggie. Yeah, but the thing that what how do you think that's going to impact participation?
Oh, well, I think it's going to have a tremendous impact on our participation. I just think, for instance, if some kids come on this day, some on others, we're going to be missing out tremendously on meals served. In those kinds of scenarios, what happens with students who are at home? The question becomes, well, do we send meals home for those students who are not in school on a given day? So there are a lot of concerns out there. And so that's why it's really critical for us to be communicating and finding out what's taking place. As for state agency support, we constantly work with our directors. We talk with them constantly because we want to know what's happening in their particular district. So if we can assist in whatever way we can, we're there and we're available to assist them.
Well, Reggie, what do you think that schools can do to make their customers, the kids, and ultimately the parents feel safe again, and maybe start making some steps towards getting some of that participation back?
Okay, I think first of all that we have to make certain that as far as the safety is concerned, that parents can come in and look at us and see that we've taken all the precautions that we can to make sure our environment is safe with the food that we're sending out to their students. I think there's a trust factor in that. And once they see what we've done and what we're doing, I think that will help us to increase our male participation. But we also have to be willing to meet changes and understand that school, as we used to know it, where students come in, they go through the cafeteria line, by class, that may be a thing of the past. So we have to be willing to adjust to that. Whatever this new world looks like in school nutrition, we have to be willing to adjust. And it may take us some time to get there, but we have to be willing to make changes, to make it work. So, because we got a lot of hungry kids out there who need to be fed. And we cannot lose sight of that vision, that we need to make sure we feed hungry kids. So, you know, and I am so happy and thrilled that to see what has happened thus far is that we have really put it out on the line across the country that school nutrition is important, that we're essential, and we're working to make sure that our students are fed.
Yeah, you and I both know these ladies and gentlemen are heroes in what they do every single day.
I've
said this in front of groups all over the country, that I firmly believe that in many, many school districts heretofore, before now, child nutrition was some of the most, you know, underappreciated people in the school district. Well, that has absolutely flipped, because now everybody knows just how critical, everybody in the community knows how critical it is. And also another good thing I thought, Reggie, of all this is that you can see a positive side is that, you know, parents have gotten an opportunity to see the food that's being served in the schools.
Correct.
A lot of parents say, wow, I didn't realize that this is what was being served in the school. And I think that can be a good thing that comes out of this.
Well, you know, we have even gone beyond just making certain that our students are fed. We're making sure that families are fed.
Amen.
I've had districts that, I mean, they literally box up meals for the entire week for the kids. But families can enjoy some of the food. And with all of the people who are unemployed, all that's taking place out in our society at this time, we have really served a great purpose. And it's good that we've finally gotten recognition from people outside of our industry. We have always appreciated the efforts of our employees, but it's good now that someone else really appreciates our efforts and what we're doing.
Do you see the USDA waivers being extended?
Yes, actually, they extended 4 waivers this morning.
Yes.
That was breaking news this morning that we had 4 of the waivers that were extended.
Perfect. Now, with the lower participation, this is obviously going to affect districts' budgets. When we're looking at, budgets for this upcoming year, how do you see the impact carrying over into next year? And is there any news coming about increased funding from the federal government for school meal programs?
You know, one of the things that we're asking for from the federal level is that those funds that have been allocated for the 2020 school year, that once we take out for the meals and the appropriations for those meals that have been served, we need to give those funds back to our school nutrition industry for our various districts throughout the country. Those funds have already been allocated, and based off of our numbers, they're not going to be spent because we will not be getting the reimbursements for meals, because we're currently not near the levels. We may be at 30-40% of the meals that we customarily serve. So there is money out there. In addition to that, again, this newest bill that's been offered through the House would appropriate additional funds for school nutrition. And now, in addition, we have different states who have different appropriations. Some states are providing additional funds. In the state of North Carolina, I am pleased to announce that the House and the Senate actually appropriated an additional funds of $75 million for our school nutrition programs, which will be a benefit for our programs here in our state. And there are other states still contemplating during various types of funding for their different programs. But, you know, we can't do it all by ourselves. We have to have some assistance to keep all of our programs afloat. But I am very grateful again to our advocacy team and they are working hand in hand with Congress and USDA, and they really are going to bat for school nutrition to get additional funding for our programs.
That's great news. Now, you mentioned in North Carolina. Now, over in North Carolina, you serve as a consultant for the North Carolina Department of Public Instruction, correct?
That is correct. And I have about 11 counties that I'm personally the consultant for in the Charlotte area.
So in that role that you carry over there in North Carolina, have you heard anything about administrative review process changing, any additional items? You know, obviously, there's going to be a lot of procedural things that districts are putting into place when it comes to safety. Is there anything from the state level that you've heard coming down the pipes?
Well, the only change that we have currently made is that we are currently doing desk audits from our homes currently. Versus going out to the actual schools. Now, as we move forward for the fall, based on all what we have been doing in the past, we may make some of these adjustments, but we don't know yet because we have been so focused on supplying all of our school food authorities with the work and the help that they need. So we have not started to focus on what may take place. Now, we do have a schedule currently for administrative reviews for the next school year. But again, we'll have to wait and see whether or not we'll be able to move forward with that schedule as we get closer to the beginning of the school year. But I will say, be ready for change. And just like I say for our school food authorities, we also at the state agency have to be ready for change and to make modifications. So that could happen.
Yeah.
Now, Reggie, in the last couple of minutes here, we're getting pretty close to our time. Let's try and keep it to around a 30-minute format. So in kind of closing, you know, with the show and what we do here for our Friday Food Fights, we talk a lot about change on the show. But I wanted to ask you, what type of opportunities do you see on the horizon for food service operators as they're going in and planning for this upcoming school year?
Well, what I see as far as the future is concerned is that anytime that there's a great challenge for any of us, it affords us the opportunity to grow and to come up with new ideas that we probably would never have even thought of previously. I think before the pandemic, you know, we'd make some changes, but I think the pandemic has forced us to really meet the needs of the people where they are. And you have seen our people rise to the occasion and not just serve individual meals. We have started to serve box meals more than one day. We have started to make those kinds of adjustments. And as we move forward with these changes on the horizon, I can see, you know, potentially us changing the types of food, how we do it, how we package it. Those kinds of things potentially will change. I think, though, that whatever the changes are, they will be positive changes for us as an industry. Again, you know, no one could have predicted this pandemic, but now that it's happened, we can't be stuck in the past of what we did before. We have to accept the change. We have to come up with new ideas for the future, and then we have to move forward. And it's going to take everybody. It's going to take industry. It's going to take SNA. It's going to take all of our school food authorities, the local administrations, the LEAs, all working together with one goal of feeding children. Because bottom line for all of us is feeding hungry children. And we have to do whatever we need in order to do that.
Well, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, you know, God gives us adversity to prepare us to help the next person. And I think child nutrition has been given great adversity, but at the same time, they've been given great opportunity to show just how special and important that they really are, and to help our community. Because a lot of people don't realize that, like you and I know, Reggie, that there are tens of millions of children that rely on child nutrition every single day, not only during the school year, but during the summer. And it's huge. But I got to close with one thing. And Reggie, you put on your bio one of my favorite quotes in the world.
And I agree.
And I have posted it multiple times. I'm going to read it because I don't want to mess it up.
Okay.
I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And that's Maya Angelou. And Reggie, I can say this from the bottom of my heart, every time I've ever seen you interact with people, every time I've ever seen you in a group, you have always made an effort to make everyone you talk to feel special. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. You are truly a gentleman, and it's an honor to be your friend.
Well, I say the same thing. It's an honor to have met you and your son and even your family. And just grateful for those opportunities, you know, that when we get an opportunity to get together, that we enjoy our fellowship and friendship, and just very thankful for that.
Amen.
Well, anything that you'd like to close with, Reggie, before we part ways?
Yes, I just want to say how grateful I am to all of our school nutrition professionals, our industry, SNA, all of our members, for all of the hard work that we have done to make this successful. Thank you. Continue to do the great things you are doing. You are wonderful. You are essential beyond belief. And we thank you.
Amen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. Reggie, I really appreciate you being on the show. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate it. We'll definitely have to have you back on in the near future. And Bart, as always, great to see you as well. And this has been another episode of Friday Food Fight. Make sure you turn in every single week right here at 12 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Take care. We'll see you next week.